St. Augustine wrote that idolatry is worshiping what ought to be used and using what ought to be worshipped. Idolatry, worshiping what ought to be used and using what ought to be worshipped. I like that definition because it goes both ways. Sometimes we don't think about that two ways, when we can turn God into a thing just as easily as we can turn things into God. There's another more modern pastor named Tim Keller, and he defined idolatry as turning a good thing into an ultimate thing. Whenever the topic of the Sabbath comes up in Jesus' teachings of the day, it's always connected with idolatry and teaching about true worship. That was what the Sabbath was meant to teach human beings, how to direct our minds and hearts to God. And next to injustice, idolatry forms the two great sins that the people of Israel and indeed the church are always struggling with. Idolatry, how do we give true and honest worship to God? There are a lot of things that can become idols in our life. We're used to kind of this, the normal list of things out there like money or success or power, all these things we typically associate with idols. But there are also other holy things that can become idols to us as well. Things like liturgy or church or justice or mission. These are all good things that the people of God are called to. But they can all become idols if we turn them into the ultimate thing rather than the good things that ought to be used for worshiping God. There are times in our lives when our idols will kind of swallow us alive, and that's what idols do, and that's really what worship, the Sabbath, was created to do, to give us rest. And so if we don't honor the Sabbath the right way, we will become burned out in our lives, even by doing the good things that the Lord calls us to. If we don't keep that Sabbath central, as Jesus is here teaching, then we're going to be burned out, even on good things like the work of justice or liturgy or mission. There was a time in my, I guess, ecclesiastical career as a seminarian that I experienced that very profoundly. I felt myself very burned out on the church. Kind of certainly not blaming others, but in the way that I was carrying on my faith, I often felt stuck between two extremes. I sort of felt all around me. On the one hand, I felt in seminary life constantly surrounded by different liturgy wars going on the one hand, and on the other hand, sort of being, feeling like a cog in the machine of the evangelization industry, all of the different programs and things that were expected to rebuild the church and to turn things around, and felt very stuck between these two extremes and felt very burned out. It's really one of the things that led to me leaving the seminary the first time, feeling that desire for the Lord had become swallowed up and church had become something to me that it wasn't. And between these two, Scylla and Charybdis of, you know, liturgy wars and the evangelization industry, it seemed to me that neither was particularly serving God or the people of God all that well. It was kind of an awakening for me that all of us have a tendency to make our relationship with God entirely dependent on a particular worship experience or even a ministry. And when that happens, our faith will inevitably become either a commodity or a cause in our life rather than a true worship. It's a little spiritual axiom that I've heard that I think is very true, and really kind of the first spiritual law is that the first thing in the spiritual life is to keep the first thing the first thing. It's a good sort of spiritual law for us. The first thing in the spiritual life is to keep the first thing the first thing. And that's what Jesus is doing in our passage when he declares that the Sabbath was not made for man. well, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. What he's doing is not saying that Sabbath or liturgy or justice or any of these things aren't good, but that we can get that order mixed up. And so what true worship does, and that's what the Sabbath was meant to do, was meant to order our lives towards God. What we do when we worship correctly is order our loves in our life. That the way that we love and who and how we love is in the right order. Because when our loves and desires are all mixed up, that's when we become very discombobulated and chaotic and even burned out. Another St. Augustine-ism, you are what you love. And that's what the liturgy teaches us. You are what you love. And so, therefore, the order of our loves matters a lot. Who do we love? The liturgy teaches us, above all, to love and to serve God.